What's going on, everybody? What's going on? Welcome back to the Over Exaggerated Podcast, Over X for short. We're back with another year, different format. Me, Dot, we're doing something a little different. We're going to be giving you kind of a little bit of an hour podcast a week, just recording, going over our thoughts, things that's been happening throughout the leagues, college, football, you know, mainly football, but a lot more sports are going to be getting thrown into this. You already know how we get down. Basketball talks, a little bit of baseball. Y'all see, I got the Tigers repping the D today, man. Got the little Javier Baez on my back. Y'all can't see it, but it's there. But I'm going to go ahead, throw it over to Cam, let him say a few words to the fam. I know it's been a long summer.
What's good, fam? Like you said, it's been a long summer. Not going to lie, I've been working, saving money, trying to get a lot of things going. But hopped in the studio today, ready to get to talking these sports. There's been some crazy things going on, and we got to get to the bottom of some of these things going on. It's a lot of rigory going on already. We just got here, too.
Man, but you already know. Let's get straight into it. But anyways, man, you already know. So the first topic I wanted to get into was so fresh in my mind. Last night, Monday Night Football. I honestly, is that a game you were expecting, especially with, you know, the big news or not big news, Aaron Rodgers going down damn near before snap one, even. He didn't even look right going out there. I don't know, y'all, in warm-ups. He dapped up Logan Paul. I don't know if that was his cue to go down.
That was I'm not gonna lie. I went into that game expecting a fight. And then for Aaron Rodgers to go down fourth snap. It was the fourth snap of the game. And, you know, this New York crowd was jam-packed. Like, they were happy to be there. You could tell it was Monday Night Football. You could tell the whole state of New York was finally happy for something. To see him go down, it was kind of like, ugh. Dang, man. It kind of felt like the whole state energy left the stadium with him, man, like when he got carted out of there. So, I mean, good thing they got the win. Josh Allen definitely gifted them a lot. But, you know, I mean, they still played hard and they still really fought. The defense stepped up. So
I mean, obviously, Buffalo's a New York team. New York Jets is a New York team. So it's not like a New York team didn't win last night. But as far as the weekend goes with the two teams in MetLife alone, how do you compare a Sunday night to a Monday night? And I was even telling you when I seen Stefan at the game on at Sunday night, I said he's either going to come sick or like the Bills look sick. Maybe Josh Allen was the one who got sick out there. It seemed like the curse was just over MetLife alone. Like the New York teams just couldn't get it rolling. A goose egg from the Giants. And then, I mean, obviously it was a madness towards the end of that game with the Jets winning overtime, but I don't know.
That personally, that Giants game was just, I don't know. I've never seen an NFL team just come out and really lay an egg like that, like quite literally, like all three sides of the ball, like offense, defense, and special teams. Like even the kickoffs were bad, bro. Like, personally, I've only probably ever seen like two games like that. I'm hoping Danny Dimes can get it figured out and they can get Saquon rolling. That first drive, they looked okay. It's not like they even came out and just got straight shut down like that. They had one mistake. It was straight downhill from there. But as far as the Jets go, they played hard. Like I said, Josh Allen gifted them a lot. They're going back to Zach Wilson. They're going right back to the project that they just got out of having to complete last year. We'll see. I don't know.
So, are you regretting getting rid of Mike White then? Like, because he's not on the roster, guys. Because is that like, are we sitting there kicking ourselves in the bum? Like, yeah, we won special teams, though. Guys, like, it didn't look good. Garrett and the Wilson twins, the Wilson brothers, the Wilson, whatever you want to call them. they're not getting it done. I don't know if they're just not connecting as well as they should. Obviously, Zach Wilson's had so many ups and downs while he's been in New York that, like, he doesn't know if he's playing today or tomorrow. He might not even be playing the next snap. So, I mean, for him, everybody was you could even hear it in the announcer's voice. I mean, you guys can see how he's been working with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it didn't look as pretty as everyone wanted to make it seem, but I don't know. Like,
that's fine.
I mean, like, the kid, he was a second-round pick? First-round pick. Yeah. So that alone should just tell y'all, like, we've been having arguments over this guy. Like, who is he? Josh Rosen? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, Zach Wilson was highly touted. That's a lot of money coming out. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Only guy in that class, in that top three, living up to it is Trevor at this point. And even then, his game was looking a little shaky until that end.
I mean,
at least you can say he's a playoff contender.
I heard the commentator during the Jets game also say the Jets don't have a backup quarterback. So if Zach Wilson got hurt, it would have been a wide receiver that they had that had some high school quarterback experience, which it does make you wonder, like, you can't just come into the court. You can't come into the season with two quarterbacks. That's one of the most dangerous things you can do. So they're definitely going to have to figure that out and get somebody, whether it's quick in free agency or try to make a quick move. They got a lot of weapons that they really don't need right now. Dalvin Cook looked like he was barely getting any action out there. I'm not saying trade him, but, you know, they got a lot out there that they could definitely get off and find somebody valuable at the quarterback position who's not really getting some minutes and find a journeyman for now. If Zach Wilson really don't work. As far as Trevor Lawrence goes, I mean, he looked good, but he's another guy. I expected him to look a lot better, considering how comfortable he looked in them last, like, six games, especially last year. He looked like he was really starting to take them next level leaps, and then kind of see him come back this first year, kind of seemed like he, especially that first quarter, he was all over the place. He wasn't really set on his feet. He was kind of jittery, looked like he was getting the ball out way too quick, wasn't really getting through his progressions. And Calvin Ridley came and saved the day, just had an amazing game for him. So made his numbers look really good. So, and like you just said, bro, top three picks for that whole draft. I mean, it's been all the way shaky. I will say Zach came in. I expected Zach to come in and straight up not do anything, not move the ball three and outs. And he had a few plays where the commentators might be right, bro. Aaron Rodgers might be the answer out there for him. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, everybody has flashes. I mean, they're professionals, most definitely. But I don't know. I want to kind of move forward. Now, I guess we can move forward. I want to move forward to that Browns game. And the reason I say that is because Joey B, 275, the man, the myth, the legend himself. Is he struggling? Was that just one game? Like, was Cleveland's defense really ready? Deshaun even looked a little bit better than Joe that day. Like, are we getting back to vintage Deshaun? Or was that more of just a struggle day for Joe Burrow? And if so, are the struggle days ahead of us? This is a guy who's already endured injury, been to a Super Bowl, on the verge of winning an MVP. I mean, the kid... is right there. He's always smoking his cigars. He's well dressed. He just suffered his second injury. Obviously not that bad. He's already bouncing back. Some people are saying he's going to be on the ground a lot this year, even after the Bengals did what they could to revamp that offensive line.
Look, man, it was raining. It was wet out there. It was windy. It was definitely, it was not the weather that we wanted out there in Cincy, for Cincy.
Right.
Now, that being said, you can't just come out there and play completely bad football the way they did. So that sucked to see. I will also say the Browns look pretty goddamn good. You feel it? A lot of people just kind of wrote this off as the Cincinnati Bengals are going to come in and walk all over Cleveland. The Browns look pretty damn good. And Deshaun, I'm not going to lie, you know, I could be nitpicking. I felt like he missed a few throws that definitely would have made in 2020. And I'm kind of starting to wonder, you know, when are we going to get back to seeing you make those throws, Deshaun? Like, when are we going to really stop seeing them hit the dirt? Which it was only like four or five balls that I could really say that about. But, you know, but that team's looking like once Deshaun gets to that level, bro, they're going to take off to being at the top of the AFC with the Chiefs, whoever else is up there. I mean, it's just a matter of whether Deshaun can actually play that good or not. As far as Cincy goes, I don't think they're going to really fall off. Everybody's sitting here saying Joe Burrow's going to have a losing season. They shouldn't have paid him his money, this, that, and a $275 million man lays an egg. But patience. This is week one. You feel me? Zach Taylor's a good coach. Joe Mixon still hasn't got involved yet. Let's pump the brakes a little bit, guys. Let's pump the brakes.
I hear you. I hear you. Jamar, T. Higgins, everybody, they gotta get back to it. It was raining in Cleveland. I mean, come on. Come on. Not to mention a little nugget. I was talking to a coworker of mine. You know what he tells me? He says, "Yeah, we were all the way up top, and look where we got moved to." I said, "Moved? What do you mean you got moved?" He's like, "Yeah, I asked him, was there any way we could get down there?" And he ended up in row 19. I said, "Ain't no way." Oh my God. That was Brian, by the way, y'all. If y'all don't know Brian, that man's a card. But I just thought it was crazy. I didn't know you could ask to get moved. Bro, anytime you try to, and especially at a college game, like I've never been to an NFL game, so I don't know if they just trying to fill the seats down there. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've never got rained on. I know, you feel me, the usher might definitely feel a little bit, but hey, yeah, bro, come on, we got to get these guys down here. But
ain't no way. That's what I was about to say. Like, bro, like an Ohio State game, bro, they will press you. Like, they are mean mugging you the whole time. Bro, don't even get lost going in the wrong section, bro. They are going to. Don't play that. We already, we know your seat is over there, bruh. But nah, I thought that was funny. But I mean, moving forward on, still talking about the Browns, but they've got, that's what I was going to say. See, so next week, right, they're playing another divisional opponent in the Steelers. Now,
back to back.
Are the Steelers, like, okay, one, do you like divisional games early in the season? Like, is it exciting? Like, I know a lot. I'm pretty sure you and Alex were both saying divisional games week one are trash. And I was just sitting there. I'm like, I don't know. Like, Battle of Ohio week one, like week two, you just got the Battle of the Browns. Like, it's going crazy in Ohio. You know what I mean? Like, so they're playing the Steelers. I'm not sure if they're home or away, but the Steelers did have a rough game against the 49ers, which they, I mean, looking at, they could be a Super Bowl team. Brandon Ayuk could be the second best receiver in the league when it's all said and done, the way he played. But we have to ask ourselves, was that a bad game for the Steelers? Like, that's what I'm also kind of wondering. Like, I see the Browns winning. Kenny Pickett, George Pickens, they didn't really get it going. But, like, the Steelers somehow know how to play their best football against the Browns. I don't know if it's an NFL thing. I don't know if it's a pride thing, if it is just the rivalry thing altogether. Like, Mike Tomlin, I mean, he's coached, it's a divisional game. That's the tough coach. Like, I don't know what it is, but these games always seem to heat up. They're always close. It's never really a blowout. Even that one time when Baker was blowing them out, Big Ben found a way to come back. Like, I don't know.
I mean, bro. Personal divisional games for me early in the season, I think they play hard, you feel, especially the defenses, bro. That just, you want that first divisional game. Like, you don't want to be going into the second half of the season worrying about getting one back on the divisional guys. So, like, they all want that first one. So, to have it in the first 2 weeks of the season, it is I like to stay a little bit away from those, me personally. Now, obviously, at some point, you got to have them. If they're on the schedule, you got to play them. And the Steelers getting slapped with two out of the gate. And the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns don't feel bad for them. So, I'm pretty sure they're going into Cleveland. I could be wrong, but going into Cleveland, I'm, like you just said, pretty historic rivalry. Everybody knows it's always normally Pittsburgh running it right down their throats all game, all game, all game. Franco here, we all know what it's been for the past however many decades. And past like 3 years, kind of feels like the Steelers haven't been able to figure it out. I feel like Najee Harris is bound to get back on track. He just had a terrible game against San Francisco, going up against probably was going to be the best defense in the league besides maybe the Cowboys. I think Najee Harris is going to have a good game against the Browns. I want to lean towards the Steelers, but then again, Kenny Pickett's been looking suspect this year. I can't lie. I like what Deshaun's doing. I can't go against Nick Chubb and the boys. I can't do it. I feel like Nick Chubb is going to be way too much of a wrecking ball in that game. So I'm going to go with Cleveland, but I won't be surprised if Pittsburgh does definitely shock the world now.
Definitely. I mean, I could see Cleveland winning. I definitely want Cleveland to win. I mean, I don't know. Amari Cooper's going to have to tighten up. A lot of their receivers out there, they just going to have to step up a lot more than what they did. The defense is doing what they got to do. Grant, I thought his name was Graham. Grant Delpit out there. Doing this thing, Miles Garrett always, you know. So everything is smooth sailing for the Browns. 2-0. Deshaun's name is slowly rising back up to the threshold it needs to be at. He just has to perform. He had a rushing touchdown. He's been doing his thing. I mean, but
you think they're gonna get George Pickens rolling?
I need Living the Pick to get rolling. That's the funny part for fantasy wise. Fantasy wise, I need him to get it going, and if he doesn't, I'm going to be upset. I mean, wow. But I feel like it's not more about can he get it going, because he will. It's more about can Kenny Pickett get him the ball. Is he going to be targeting Deontay Johnson way too much? Or are the Browns – who are the Browns going to guard that day? Like, are they guarding Deontay, or are they going to go more for George Pickens? Like, is that – does George Pickens – really garnering that much like defense, even though Deontay is the clear number one? George Pickens is just so lethal. I feel like that they have to take that extra step and just take him away, because that's right. Kenny Pickett's number two. Kenny Pickett's for already sure. getting rushed so much that he's not even seeing the number one. When he goes to the number two, it's not there. Boom. It's a tough pick. It's a tough pick. He's got that fire move dump off, though. Don't forget about fire move. He could easily drop it down there. And like you said, they could just run the ball with Najee all day. But Najee himself, it hasn't been having the craziest games as of late. And especially last week. I mean, obviously you're going up against Nick Bosa and the fucking boys. But you got to be better. I mean, he's the leader on the team. He's probably – he's obviously not the oldest guy on the team. He's not the oldest guy in the room. But as far as our offensive goes – he's the staple besides an old lineman. Right. So he's got to be able to step up in big moments, especially against the Niners. I mean, you don't have to outperform Christian McCaffrey, but you got to do better than that, bro, for real.
No, I think they're missing Big Ben a little bit out there, and that's crazy. Mm. They drafted their guy, they thought, and you know, it's quick like that. But we'll see if they can figure it out, Pittsburgh.
Moving forward, y'all. I think one last, I'll just go back over. I'm gonna pull up the ESPN. I'm gonna go, and we're just gonna go over some of these games. I just want to finish going over the last few of the scores, because I just think it's crazy the way some things broke down this week. Let's see what we got. Go to ESPN.com. All right, y'all. Let's see what we got. What do we got? What do we got? NFL. Not that NBA stuff. Screw that. Week one. All right. Can't forget about the Lions and the Chiefs. I mean, that one was definitely a doozy.
Oh, my goodness. Thursday night. Feels like it's been 2 years.
I'm sorry. That one was bad. It's been ages since, and it's not bad because of Kadarius Toney. It's bad because everyone except for my man's Jay had the Chiefs going into that game, bro. But the Lions, Dan Campbell, even Jared Goff couldn't. He couldn't even ruin it. It was like it was set in stone for them to get the dub. So. I'm hyped that the Lions won. I'm rooting for the Lions this year. I'm trying to go to a Lions game. Maybe them beating the Chiefs is going to raise the ticket prices a little bit. But, hey, that's the price you pay. You know what I mean? And they got to play the Packers this year.
Bro, if Travis Kelce plays in that game, is it a totally different outcome? Or are the Lions really just – are they really up there competing with the Chiefs and the Bills and the Eagles of the world right now?
The Lions are like that. It's just they – Dan Campbell gets the most out of them when they have the most adversity on their backs, whether win or lose. You see the best out of this team when in their most adverse moments. And, yeah, Travis Kelce adds, what, 2 touchdowns onto that score for the Chiefs? But, I mean, who knows? Travis could have easily had a fumble or – I mean, Juju still, I mean, not Juju, Kadarius still drops a major ball. Like, it doesn't, I definitely don't think that the Lions win. You know what I mean? They definitely don't win. Lions don't win with Travis Kelce on that field. But the Lions still give a hell of a fight, and it's still a close-ass game. Like,
I'll give you that. I'll give you that one.
If the Lions run Jahmyr Gibbs a little bit more, they might actually blow out the Chiefs in that same type of matchup. So, I think that the Chiefs need to, one, readjust, and the Lions need to trust in the rookie running back. Moving forward, we got this game right here. It was, I mean, you could call it the Bijan game if you wanted, but the Ty Algier game for sure. The boy went off. Kyle Pitts had a little bit. Oh, man. I'm going to talk about Bryce Young before I talk about the detriment of the Falcons in Drake London.
18 pass attempts the whole game.
Guys, this was one for the runners. And just when we were about to get rid of the running back position, Atlanta and the Panthers show exactly why it's most important to have not one, not two, but maybe 3 running backs on the team.
Come on.
For real.
LeBron.
And I promise y'all, man, look. It's crazy because Bryce Young right there, y'all see the stats. I mean, not a good day. He was dumping it off to Hayden Hurst a little bit, but 2 interceptions. Bryce isn't looking that good, especially when you really get to scrolling down. Where's the game? Uh-oh. I'm clicking on Ty Algier. What am I doing? Especially when you scroll down to his, what, rival in C.J. Stroud? The game for that boy, 242. No touchdowns. No
man,
interceptions.
They were playing too conservative, man. Free CJ. Yeah.
Free CJ already, guys. Wow. We're here.
The Falcons game was odd. I was just kind of at work the past 2 days, just kind of wondering. I got Kyle Pitts on my fantasy team. I was thinking about Drake London on my fantasy team. Thank God I avoided him. But I'm just wondering, from the Falcons' standpoint, what is the plan? Like, why draft us? If I'm Kyle Pitts or Drake London, I'm genuinely sitting here wondering what is the plan. With, like, last year it was multiple games was less than 20 passes. Most they would ever throw is like 25. And you get a great run option like Bijan Robinson, and then you come into this year. Obviously, you get a good matchup against the Panthers. They didn't really need to throw the ball. They still won. Like, it's not going to look like that every single week. But it does – it's concerning to sit here. They draft the quarterback. They get a new running game. They get a couple guys on defense, and then they come in, and the it seems like Kyle Pitts and Drake London still haven't become a part of that game plan. It's like, why are we spending high draft picks on pass catchers if our entire game plan is going to be handing the ball off 50 times a game between 2 guys, no matter what, no matter who's out there catching the ball. So that's the one thing I really look at with the Falcons. They won. Hopefully they get put into some positions where they're losing and they have to throw the ball. But it's truly crazy. It's actually interesting to see what's going on out there with them too.
I mean, I think it's just you lose Matt Ryan and you really fall in the shambles. You pick up a Mariota, but then you realize you didn't put that good of a line around Mariota. And that Falcons defense is pretty good. Like, that team isn't that bad. But then when Mariota does lose Calvin Ridley for a whole year, not trying to defend him now, but I'm just saying, like, that does mess up. And then you bring in Drake London, and Drake London isn't even he shouldn't have even gone better than Olave or Wilson. Like, we've had this conversation before. He's not that. And he's shown it over, like, those two guys have had phenomenal rookie seasons, and Drake London has just been this, I don't know, an up and down shaky player for the Atlanta Falcons. And it's not to hate on Drake. He put up zero for me in fantasy, but fantasy aside, bro, you had one target. And yeah, they were running the ball. But dude, it's like you weren't getting open. And Desmond Ridder overlooked you like two times, but you weren't getting open. So as far as that goes with them, I don't want to cover them too much, but it's just they got a lot to work on in that passing game. And it starts
a lot.
It starts with getting another receiver, and it starts with definitely getting Drake London actually 8 touches a game, especially going from one. Like, one is basically like zero because he didn't even catch it. It didn't even, like, it might have been an incomplete target, so it wasn't even on him. Like, he didn't even get to go for the ball. So it was just a bad, bad time. We already talked about this Browns game. Colts, AR-15, AR-5, whatever you want to call them, almost outplayed the Jaguars, man.
Cam was
telling me I was almost giving up my Colts fandom. There's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. They've been selling for years on end.
Come on.
But as of right now, we're still a fan. I'm still there. 0-1. I expected us to lose. That sounds like a hater fan. I don't know. I'm just saying.
At heart.
Calvin Ridley, welcome back to the league. Travis Etienne, you almost gave Cam a heart attack.
That was a good game from I will say, the Colts, I expected them to look way worse without homeboy Jonathan Taylor. Then they kind of looked like they, I don't want to say were a little bit better without him. What's his name? Jackson fumbled twice. They had a couple of moments where they definitely looked like they could have used Jonathan Taylor's big play. But to go in there, and obviously divisional game, they walked in there with a rookie quarterback. He didn't look like he was ever really flustered. Like, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, a lot of these quarterbacks came in week one. Just, you could tell they have those week one jitters. And Anthony Richardson and the coach just kind of looked like they were methodically moving down the field each drive, even on the ones where they punted or made mistakes. It's like they got a lot of good film that they can definitely dissect and see where they're good at. I expected it to be a lot uglier than it was. But we'll see if the Colts can find a good win, the Colts and the Texans. I feel like they both blew some good, easy first week wins for their quarterbacks this week, man. Tough.
Facts, though. Scrolling down. Don't want to get too caught up. We got Baker outplaying the Vikings. Justin Jefferson not walking into the end zone, but putting up 150 yards exact. I told him. The night before, I said it. I said, Justin Jefferson is good for 150 before he'll ever walk in that end zone. And it's not the hate on Justin Jefferson, but there was six weeks in a row last year where he didn't get in the end zone. And when you're sitting there, you're betting and you're hoping on fantasy points, like, yards is great. You know what I mean? But when you're placing these bets and you want Jay Jettas, your favorite player, to go get to that end zone and he doesn't get in there, you got to wonder, how many times does this guy actually score, you know? Especially compared to a guy like Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not trying to start the debate just early today. I'm just throwing it out there for the fans to know, for everybody to take a look at. Justin may just be a little overrated. definitely a great route runner. One of the best catchers in the league, but that man
bet
does
the over
not
on his yards every week. Do not bet him to get a touchdown. That's what I say.
Don't bet him to get a tutty. Because he will score 2-1 game. He's going to go off for 2 touchdowns. And then a few weeks are going to go by without one. And that's not to say it's easy to get in the end zone. But like I said, y'all, for the people that bet, y'all know what I mean. You got to be weary, all right? Moving forward, Derek Carr in the New Orleans Saints debut is a success. You see it right there. He edges the Titans 16-15. Guys, this man couldn't even throw a touchdown pass. So I don't know what
in that game.
No, my bad. I bet him to throw two. He threw one touchdown pass.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank God.
He did throw one, 305 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Derrick Henry, 15 carries, only 63 yards. But Chris Olave having a game, 8 for 112.
How are we feeling about the return of Mike Thomas?
Let's go deeper and look in. I know he had a somewhat of an okay game. Fantasy-wise, you might not chalk it up that well, but I mean, Mike Thomas, 5 for 61. Not bad on 8 targets. His longest was a 25-yarder? Come on now. Welcome back, Mike. Is it shocking, or is he on my radar? No. Am I upset I don't got him on my fantasy team? No. Am I happy for the guy for finally making it back after all the health issues and mental health issues that he had going on? Hell fucking yeah.
Definitely.
Mike Thomas helped me win a Super Bowl one year, but as far as, you know, rooting for him right now, this, that, and the third, nah, not so much. I mean, welcome back. Like I said, Mike, I'm hoping you do great, but let's pump the brakes.
Are we Alvin's return?
Ooh, that's a week 4 return. He's suspended for the first 3 games, y'all. Remember that. Week 4 return. I predict Alvin Kamara to be what Alvin Kamara was 2 years ago. You can book it.
Okay.
What else we got in here?
We're getting close to the end here.
On God. We got the Cardinals, guys. Oh. Cardinals and Commanders. I think it's funny because me and Cam had these conversations about the Cardinals and what they were going to do at quarterback. And I thought, why not go get a guy like Teddy Bridgewater or even, I don't know, there was someone else that was on the market. They went and ended up getting Josh Dobbs. They got Josh Dobbs. Colt McCoy, even. I'm thinking they already had Colt McCoy. I'm thinking start Colt. Colt knows the offense. Colt isn't bad. But they don't pick up Teddy. Detroit picks up Teddy. Then they go in and they get Josh Dobbs and they start Josh. And this is the outcome. When Sam Howell is playing a terrible game and your defense is actually on point, they don't get the dub because, I mean, it's just you don't. The defense of the Commanders is just way better. You're not going to be able to outplay them for very long. So you have to beat them like in that first half before it's too late. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and you're letting Sam Howell get a rushing touchdown, guys. Like that's not going to bode well. They really held down on the rushing. Like, Washington's rushing is normally a staple. I mean, they got Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson is a guy, and Curtis Samuel can always do some cut-up stuff. I mean, it just didn't look good. Kurt kind of had a better – I mean, everybody had a better game than Drake London, but, I mean, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, even. I mean, they couldn't even get Terry going. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, over here, though, I mean, you couldn't get Marquise going that well. You couldn't get Rondell Moore that well. The guy you went to the most that day was Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz, that's a year too late for that pick. And
facts.
I think Josh Dobbs throwing 30 times and only having 132 yards, guys, right here, this right here, is something Colt McCoy would never have done. You give Colt McCoy 30 snaps throwing the ball and – I promise you, he's going for 200 yards at least. So, I don't know.
Colt McCoy apologist out here now.
I'm just saying, you got a great quarterback on the bench, and you went and picked up Josh Dobbs. I love you, Josh. You know, I'm all for diversity in the quarterback room, but not you, bub.
Oh, you think about Sam Howell with the rushing touchdown there?
I'm not even sure if it was a QB sneak or not. I'm pretty sure he actually ran that in, though. Like, Sam Howell is a runner. As jokingly as I say that, he can – he has wheels. He can't –
I thought he was bad. He got up.
He can get up. So, Y'all gotta understand, that's a runner right there. He had the second longest rush of the day. Brian Robinson's longest was 7. Sam Howell's was 6. Come on now. Y'all gotta give my man props. That was a boring game. I'm glad I didn't watch too much of it, but
yeah.
Shout out to Washington, y'all. Let's finish this up. Texans. We were already talking about CJ. You said they were playing a little too conservative. I mean, you can see it right here. Like, I'm going to go to the stats real quick. I just want to get in there. Like, because I was even wondering, like, Lamar didn't even throw, like, Lamar 22 times, 169 yards. CJ outplaying Lamar Jackson in his first game. Wow.
Nothing to show.
Pretty sure that kid was a sophomore when Lamar made it to the league. I was there with you, CJ. What else we got in here? Lamar Jackson, not that he was the leading rusher. Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins was starting to heat up, but he ended up leaving. Zay Flowers. It was the Zay Flowers game. Even though Odell was out there, Rashad Bateman, this receiving core, was only able to really put up 169 yards. So, hey, I'm not hating. I'm just saying.
It's not bad.
This was a highly touted receiving core. We definitely need to see a lot more from them. Zay Flowers, congratulations. Odell Beckham still with the longest reception of the day with 29 yards. Still knows how to take the top off. So, you love to see that. Whoa, what are we doing? Oh, all right. What else we got going on here? Nothing else too crazy. Lamar, 2 fumbles, lost one of them.
That's not
good. Lamar losing some of his spunk?
I don't think so. He's had like, I want to say like 8 of the last like 10 games he's played in. It's been just a lot of bad decision-making, fumbles here and there. He does need to clean it up. No cap.
All right. I kind of want to go in. I want to go in reverse order now. We talked about the Cowboys game, this Rams game. A lot of different names out there turning up. Tutu Atwell could be somebody to pick up, guys. What is it? What's his name? Puka?
Puka. I done forgot his last name.
Puka Nuka.
Puka Nuka. That's what it was. Puka Nuka.
Puka Nuka. Guys, look for these two. Look for Puka to probably make the Pro Bowl. I can see it now. I could literally see this guy making the Pro Bowl. Will Disley still doing his thing out there, y'all.
William.
But nah, look for them. Van Jefferson, he'll probably have a better game. What happened to Robert Woods? Did they force that man to retire? What happened to him?
I believe. I'm actually not sure. I thought he played somewhere else. I might be wrong, though.
Is he a Tennessee Titan?
I swear that's where I thought he was at. I swear I thought that's where he was too. What happened to Geno Smith and the man that they wrote off? Like,
come on, y'all. I mean, he went against.
They drafted Aaron Jackson Smith and Donald. Jigba this year.
JSN only 3 of 13. It wasn't that good of a day. JSN was still. He had I think it was a hamstring injury coming into this game. Anyways. I mean, obviously when you have a draft pick like that, you want to put him out on the field injured or not sometimes, unless it's a serious injury. When it's something like that, you kind of just let it go. But I think that this game just showed that the Seahawks aren't the best team in their division, you know, and the Rams are somewhat back even without a Cooper Kupp. They now have 3 definitive guys they can go to in Tutu, Puka, and Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee. If
those
needed.
Some names out there, in Tutu, Puka, and Van. I like it.
I'm weak, man. They got Kyren, too. Don't forget about Kyren. Kyren Lee had way more rushing yards than Cam Akers. Is Cam Akers washed?
Kyren getting worked. Cam's up. He's Cam. I mean, what what are you even putting back on the field for after Kyren has a game like that? Like, it's just, you know what you're going to get with him. If you don't get a fumble, you're probably going to get, like, maybe a 45-yard gain. You're never going to get a longer than 15-yard run. Like, he's it's time, Cam. I'm sorry. He's definitely a vet. He's definitely reliable if you really don't got nothing else out there in fantasy, bro. I'm staying away from Cam Akers.
Okay. Moving forward. A few more games. Just going to breeze over these before we get to this last game that I really, really am upset about. Y'all, Dolphins, Tua does it again. He's always winning these close games. And I think people write off Tua too much after having the head injuries and things like that. He's not even the best Alabama quarterback in the league right now in some people's eyes. And it's crazy the way he's getting dubs like this. Jalen Ramsey kind of had a little bit of a pedestrian game, guys. It wasn't that great. But Tua's good for three tugs. Austin Ekeler doing his thing, but it was inevitably Tyreek Hill with an 11 reception, 215 yards. Two touchdowns, unstoppable. It's amazing. He ceases to amaze me at all points. I don't even know how many fantasy points he put up this week, but guys,
44 for me.
The guy is dangerous.
Nah, it was crazy. He was going up against J.C. Jackson. It just looks like Tyreek Hill gets fired up to go up against those actual good DBs, bro. Whenever he has a mid guy on him, he only gets like 20 points, maybe 13.
That's facts. He'll have a bad night.
He gets hyped
up. Jalen Waddle had a tackle out there. Sorry, I had to mention. Jalen Waddle, one for one. I'm thinking that's one reception. That was one tackle. Jalen Waddle came into this game injured as well. I know you're not the biggest Jay
Herbo fan. Is this a good game for Jay Herbo? Is this something we can build on, especially after the year we had last year?
This is typical Justin Herbert game, guys. And if you don't believe me, go check the film from last year. He puts up stats like this, and they take easy losses. I mean, you can blame the defense. J.C. Jackson getting torched. You see it down here at the bottom of the screen.
I see it now.
I don't think that we give this guy a little too much credit. You know what I mean? Like, he's got Keenan Allen back. Mike Williams had something going on during that game. Like, but he's got Gerald Everett. He's got other guys. Josh Palmer. That was another good guy for them last year. You know, I think that he's not using his weapons to his full ability. If he doesn't do better, the defense is going to suffer. And you've seen right here, boom, he takes a lot of sacks. So you got to give him that. He was on the ground like three times, 29 hurries. I think that's how you adjust that, right?
Jeez.
So, like, boom, right there, getting sandwiched. I mean, I don't know, guys. I definitely could see him getting hurt again this year. He took an injury last year. He's got to play better, though, regardless of – I mean, this is an 0-1 loss, an easy L. Could have avoided it.
Austin Ekeler, I will say, I got back into really watching football about 2 years ago. Austin Ekeler, to me, was always a little bit overrated. I've seen the hype this – first game of the year. I hope they can keep that going. They got him a lot of good holes. It looked like they got a freaking good run blocking scheme going. I hope they can keep him active. When he's good, they're good.
All right. Two more games to talk about, y'all.
Oh, gosh.
Gotta break them down. Three more games. Ooh. Boom. Eagles, Patriots. Eagles looked like they were running away with that game, but then Mac Jones and the Patriots were actually able to put up some good gameplay. Come back. You see they put up two touchdowns in that second quarter. Kept it close. You know what I mean? Jalen Hurts. I mean, Guys, AJ Brown couldn't even get in the end zone. DeAndre Swift had a terrible game. Gainwell was all right. Are the Eagles overrated? Or is this exactly how they were supposed to beat the Patriots? I mean, it is the Patriots team, regardless of who is at quarterback or receiver. Bill Belichick is going to get those boys in the shape. So is it the Eagles get the dub or the Patriots fought back and make the Eagles look a little worse?
I feel like combination of everything. I mean, definitely a little bit of lag from going to the Super Bowl last year. Probably looked a little bit past New England Patriots. Shouldn't be looking overlooking Bill. But at the same time, you know, all them damn weapons they got in Philly, I'm sure they were kind of just standing on the sideline waiting for them to get going. And once they kind of got everything marching down the field, you can kind of tell it was just a matter of time. Once I kind of knew the Patriots weren't going to get that last drive off. So I was hoping Philly would take the loss. I'm not necessarily the biggest Philly fan. I won't lie. I think the hype is a little bit overrated, but they're built like freaking the Monstars on defense, and they got the weapons on the outside with Devontae and AJ. They just got DeAndre Swift, who could have had a way better game, but I mean, first time out there, Kenny Gainwell looked way better than everybody thought that he was going to look. We'll see how the rest of this year goes. I think Jalen Hurts could have definitely stepped up a lot more, but he should still be an MVP candidate. I'm not going to do him like that. He should definitely still be up there. He's going to bounce back. I still believe in Jalen.
Moving forward, right here, we got the Raiders Broncos, y'all. Is this the end of Russell Wilson?
It's the end.
Payton need to hang it up as well?
No, not Sean. Not Sean. He just got here. Come on, let's give Sean some time. Russ, I don't know what to say, dog. Like, I mean, Ken, before he ever went to Denver, Ken called it out and basically said it was never going to work. He's not a plug-and-play quarterback. I always believed they were going to be able to figure something out. John Elway, they drafted Jerry Jeudy. They picked up some pretty good running backs in Melvin Gordon. I always thought they were going to be able to get something going out there. Denver always has a solid-ass defense. Like, the fact that Russell Wilson just keeps finding ways to lose these games is truly getting to the point where I'm sitting here wondering, like, why? They gave him, what was it, seven first-round draft picks to get him? Mm-hmm. Signed him to, like, a dang 4 or 5 year contract. I don't even know how long the contract did. Like, they're stuck. They're stuck. They're in trouble. I think they know that. And they played good. It's not like they played absolutely terrible. I think Russell Wilson played better in this game than a lot of the games he played in last year. But at the same time, bro, it's like when you give up 7 first-round draft picks for somebody just to be middle-of-the-pack average, what are we doing? Like,
facts. They don't got a Jerry Jeudy out there. Cortland Sutton, Samaje Perine was their leading receiver. So do we cut him a little bit of slack there? Like, he has Dorsett out there. Dorsett, you got to get him involved. I mean, Marvin Mims isn't that bad of a receiver either. I mean, little Jordan Humphrey. Couldn't get the guy involved at all. Greg Dulich, like.
Samaje Perine led the team in catches.
It's tough. And then it's tough. Hey, he was 4 for 4 out there. Hey, Samaje, y'all see that?
4 for 4? PPR.
Bet over 75 yards combined receiving and rushing. You see that right there? That's a bid. Look at that. Look, Josh Jacobs, though, I mean, even he got outrushed by Samaje. And then Jakobi Meyers out-received Devontae Adams today. So, who do we call on to kind of snap these guys out of it, these veterans that are just kind of getting outshadowed? Is it just a week one thing? Is it showing love to the other person? Or, like, can you not be the hero every week? Like, I'm confused.
I think they're across the league. There's definitely I don't want to call it the laid back factor, but like there definitely is. I'm not really going to be that upset when I get home about this result. You can kind of see it. These past few years, it just kind of seemed like a few of these losses, the reactions on the bench of some of these guys, they don't really seem to be too affected by it. So, as far as you feel me, there will always be guys in the locker room that yell and get back to the locker room, make sure the team knows we got to play better than this. But at the end of the day, we're all getting paid. We're all friends. At the end, everybody knows everybody. Like, as far as the Jets hate the Bills, I'm sure. But after the game, everybody was smiles, and Stefon Diggs was hugging and handshaking like they didn't just lose a game. So, week one, that's an extra game. Some guys might treat this like week preseason number five. It is what it is. Obviously, we're always going to come out. You're always going to see some guys kind of slacking it, misplays. It always seems like the coaches kind of want to keep things in the playbook, which is kind of why I was really upset at the Houston's Texans and the Colts games, because I just felt like their coaches were definitely scared to open up the playbook for their rookie quarterbacks. But I feel like they could have got some wins. Like, just week one stuff like that makes me upset. But it's week one. I'm sure the season's gonna get on the roll. I'm sure we'll start seeing the crazy plays. Some guys who have some quiet games will definitely make some noise. Then Bengals should get rolling on offense. I'm sure it'll be definitely crazy in week two. We'll be right back here having a whole different conversation next week.
No, that's facts. That's facts. Last but not least, man, this game was the heartbreaker for me. This one right here, y'all. The 38-20 showing from the Green Bay Packers, Cam's favorite team, guys. I was out there. I'm hoping that my boy DJ Moore ends up having a good game, and he ends up getting out received by Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Khalil Hubbard, and Roschon Johnson. If that's even how you say Ro's name, like, bro. I'm a little upset. Justin Fields was a leading rusher that day.
We're
Jordan
here.
Love looked amazing. 245, three touchdowns, 15 for 27. Never really had a bad moment. You see this down here at the bottom of your screen. Quay Walker even had a pick six. The crybaby himself, redeeming
Don't call
himself.
him that. Come on, bro.
Not even pressing down, not pushing anybody out of his way, getting that pick, going out there, doing what Quay does back at Georgia, y'all. I don't know. I think that overall, it was literally from snap one when they turned the ball over that first time. It was like they could not get it going. Green Bay knew it was their game, and then Cam even said it. Y'all forget. Green Bay owned Chicago, and that's when I knew I messed up.
We own them.
Aaron said it so many times. I thought Aaron just owned them, but it's a team thing.
It's a team thing. It's a Lambo thing, bro. I thought Chicago was gonna come out on fire. I was expecting Justin Fields to be running all over the place. He actually was. I was scared a little bit at first. I'm pretty sure it was like 17-14 at one point during that. Like, it was close. Jordan Love looked way better than I thought he could ever possibly look. He sat behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years. Obviously, I wasn't expecting him to lay the egg, but like, I wasn't expecting him to have 245 on three tuds either. The Bears, you got to clean it up. I mean, to go get DJ Moore, you got Chase Claypool. He's just now getting fully acclimated in. You still got Khalil Herbert, who didn't have that bad of a game. You got to get more than six. 14 points out of that offense, especially when you got a guy who can move around like Justin Fields. He got sacked way too many times. Some of
Facts.
that's his fault. He holds on to the ball a little bit, but I mean, there's probably like one or two that he held on to the ball for too long. They're still not protecting him enough. And defensively, like, to give up 38 points to a first-time quarterback, like, I really don't care who Aaron Jones runs for 500 yards, but like, it should be a little bit hard for a first-time quarterback to go in there and get 30.
He looked
40.
Like a natural. And granted, guys, he has played a game before, but this is his real deal. Like, first time at the helm, he knows it's his job.
Pressure,
and
rivalry game, like in enemy territory. He looked like he was flying through it.
He played so good, they put his backup in. Sean Clifford got a snap, y'all. Sean Clifford was able to fumble. He was able to fumble.
He fumbled? No.
Sean Clifford had a fumble. That's what made me click on his name because I seen it right here. I was
Sean.
like, he had a fumble. He recovered it though. Come on, bro. He recovered it. He didn't
Okay,
lose
that's
it. He
cool. He didn't
recovered
lose
the
it.
fumble. He had
That's
one rush
crazy.
for 0 yards. Like, bro, come on. In
That
his
means my
rush, he
man's had
fumbled.
a he had a negative fantasy stat line. Wow, Sean.
No, because he got back to the line. So,
Oh,
or
bet. Well,
no.
the
Whoa,
fumble
oh,
though.
he did. Yeah, the
That's
fumble.
what
He
I'm
might. He
saying.
might. I'll look it up real quick. I'll look it up.
First game ever negative fantasy line. That makes sense.
Sean Clifford did not have a negative fantasy line. Sean.
Was gonna ask, man,
Wow.
if you had to name two players this week that definitely stepped up to the plate, who would you name? After you find Sean.
Sean Clifford ended up with a, what does that say? That say 1 point? Oh, he's projected 1 point. He ended up with just a flat zero.
Fumble didn't count. Okay, that's good.
Because he didn't, yeah, he didn't lose the fumble. Had he lost it, it'd have been negative. He's the 34th best quarterback in the league. There's
Cam
that.
Newton would say he's better
Fantasy quarterback. Don't get it twisted, y'all.
than him.
Two players. Do I have two players that I can name from offense and defense before we end this that I think stepped up, really showed off? Offense is going to be easier than defense. I think it's an obvious answer. And Brandon Ayuk. I think he shocked the world. Obviously, you want to give it to
That's
Tyreek
a
Hill
good
with
one.
over 200 yards, but Brandon Ayuk really shocked the world. No one expected him to have two touchdowns to do what he did alongside Christian McCaffrey that day. We're hyping it up so much. Let me just go check it out. I mean, the guy played
He was eating.
phenomenal.
He was eating.
Let me see. Where is it? Where is it? Oh, it was right there. 8 receptions, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 8 targets. He was 8 for 8. He didn't drop the ball. The guy was going off, y'all. With Brock Purdy throwing him the ball, I give props to Brock, but hey, that guy still got a lot to learn. So shout out to Brandon. As far as defense goes,
It's the tough one.
do I default give it to the Jets punt return, the Jets special teams? Because I don't want to give it to Aiden Hutchinson. He had a great game against Pat Mahomes. But I do think that Jets special teams punt return
That was crazy for the win.
that will
For the
go
win.
down in history.
Oh, for the win. It broke a lot of hearts betting wise.
Let's show it on the screen right here, right now. Because it was just so iconic. Like I got gonna mute
Have you
that.
ever demanded?
I
It
forget they
was
had
just
Ty Law, the DB, had 3 picks in that game. He caught all three of Josh Allen's interceptions.
Ty Law. See, we could alone just give it to the Jets defense and the special teams for ending up
Okay.
winning that game. But this right here, 4th and 12. I mean, guys,
I can't even. Wow.
it almost looks like the Bills weren't trying. We've seen this by the Bills before. Just terrible execution. Game winner. That the guy looked like he was Micah Hyde. Was that you with a punch instead of a tackle? Wow.
Been
That
live.
was
It was a
number 9. That was the
heartbreaker.
kicker. The
Oh, it was
rookie,
a heartbreaker.
Xavier Gibson. Game over. Cheering. You read it here first, folks. I think that's a good way to end it, guys. I mean, you see it right there, cutting up, take it. Oh my God, look at the chip. Micah Hyde getting tripped up. No one's gonna touch him. No one's gonna get him.
Wow.
Celebrations all over the place. You see it from a whole different angle right here, guys. He knew it from the moment right here. 55. Way to lay out, bub. All you gotta do is beat the kicker from there.
He really did lay off
Way to lay out. And now that I think about it, going back to the Ayuk thing, this reminds me of that Mina Kimes thing she posted. You seen Ayuk blocking on that play for Christian McCaffrey to win the game
Bruh.
or to run that touchdown. So it's a no-brainer. Brandon Ayuk, Fuck the Tyreek Hill 200 yards. Brandon Ayuk, player of the week in over X's eyes, in my eyes. And you got to give it to the Jets defense. You got to give it to that special teams. You got to give it to Xavier Gibson.
Those are two good picks.
Dub.
Two really good picks. If I had to pick myself offensively, only because he was supposed to have a limited freaking amount of touches and he turned it into damn near 100 yards and two touchdowns. Breece Hall, bro, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's Breece. A big play waiting to happen. Like, I got him on my fantasy team this year, thank God. Last year I lost to him twice. But, bro, like, just it was the first one, he made a guy miss in the hole, just cut it for 50. And the second one, nobody even barely touched it. He cut it up the right sideline for 84 yards, got caught. You could tell he was pissed.
On the guy. No, I'm pretty sure, yeah, I was about to say, Cam is right. He put up, like, in, like, two touches, he ran the length of the field almost twice. So, I mean, guys, Breece does his thing. You got to give it up to Breece, too. I like that pick a lot. Looking forward to next week, man. I'm just hoping for better bets and just a better week as far as just all my teams, my fantasy team. I gotta get in the gym. I gotta yell at these guys, man, because we gotta be better. That's gonna wrap it up though, man. I appreciate y'all listening to the breakdown, the NFL breakdown for the schedule of week 1. We're back. OverX is back. Like I said, y'all going to see us on Instagram a little bit. This is going up on YouTube, going to be on Spotify. You're going to be able to find us on all platforms, Apple Podcasts as well. Go ahead, Cam. I'm done talking, man. I'm out of breath.
Football's back. That means we back. Y'all already know what it is, man. Follow us on everything. Y'all need to follow us on. We're going to get active on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all that soon. Going to have clips, podcasts, get special guest appearances, everything that y'all could possibly want. We're going to try to give it to y'all, man. Stay tuned for sure.
For sure, man. Go ahead and clap it up, y'all. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, y'all. We're going to go ahead and see y'all next week. That's it. Peace.